Nationals playing Little League baseball. I don't know how many times we never had replay, obviously, but I don't think it ever got overturned because no one's watching a 7-year-old.
Well, it has to be obvious.
Yeah, right. And that was obvious.
Because believe me, those Little League coaches, they will yell about it. Believe me. He left too early.
Right.
It's like you said, there's no replay, so if the ump doesn't call it, nothing you can do.
Bobby's dad that's doing third base isn't paying attention. Right? Like, what are you going to do?
Say it ain't so. Please.
Yep. It's so L.A., and we'll talk to you coming up at 3 o'clock. That was, if you're a Phillies fan that's been following this team and believed that they could do something, and there's still a lot of baseball left, and they still have time to get it back together. But that I'm not talking about that today because the manager's really, really under my skin. Can we hear a little bit from the manager, and then we'll hit the phones here, Ben? Let's hear what do we want here? Let's hear. Let's hear the after the game last night where he's discussing the Vince V tag up. I wouldn't say he's prepared for the moment if he leaves early, Gabe. Just saying.
Well, he was prepared. He just left. I mean, he was trying to do something he shouldn't have done. And if you were going to tag up, you got to make sure you wait until the ball's in the glove and then tag up.
So situation.
Well, he still would have made it.
One out, runner on second base. For the most part, the most important thing is being in scoring position with two outs. You never want to make the third out third base. But as Gabe explained, and he's right, if you're absolutely positively sure that you can make the third base, then you go to third base because of a pass ball, wild pitch,
anything,
infield hit, whatever. That's fine. You got to make sure you do it. And he would have. He would have just waited. Now listen to this. This is going to tick people off. This is on the morning show this morning. He's talking about how he handles things on, he says, individual basis. And take a listen to Gabe this morning.
On a very individual basis. So, you know, I spoke with Vince Velasquez after the game last night, and we talked through the situation like men. He gave me his perspective, why he made the decision that he made. I gave him my perspective. So we talked it through. He's better for having talked through the situation. I understand his perspective. The next time he goes out there, he's going to be better as a result. And that's the way we address it, on an individual basis, like grown-ups.
There you go. Like grown-ups, Ike. Like grown-ups. That's how they address it. Mm-hmm. And I had no problem with anything he was saying because it's like, yes, he had a conversation. Now, these conversations don't seem to be sinking in with a lot of these people, Ike, but he did it like grown-ups. Mm-hmm. All right, well, maybe you need to stop doing stuff like grown-ups, Gabe. Because the message isn't being received.
Well, I mean, listen, I just think the whole the way Gabe responds thing is it's over. I mean, it's old to me. Quite frankly, he is who he is, and he's not going to change. He's not all of a sudden about to start tearing paint off the walls in the locker room. I mean, he's just not. Because then he's going to lose his clubhouse. He's going to lose those guys. Where'd this guy come from?
Yep.
You're going to lose those guys. So, and I get it. I know fans, because fans are yelling, they want him to do it. And I get it. I get it. I'm not opposed to that type of coaching or managing. I'm not telling you that I'm opposed to that. What I'm saying is it's wasted time because that's not what he's going to do.
No, I agree.
He's not going
to
do that.
It came off as being snarky to me. And I don't know if you need to be snarky in a radio interview the morning after your team blows it again because of stupidity.
Well, here's the thing. Here's where I'll say where his, some of his snarkiness may have come from. You know he listens. Well, you know he's listening to the show before he comes on that show.
We had just asked him a couple days ago to hear about it.
Yes,
and he gave us a great answer.
So you know he's listening to those guys in the morning, and I heard a little bit of it, and you know, I'm not saying they were overcritical of Gabe or by anything by that nature, but they certainly were.
They were frustrated.
Critical of the team and how they played last night, and then some of his responses. So he came in prepared.
All right, people, Kapler Wine Lines, let's do it. Maybe you want to defend him, which is perfectly fine. 888-729-9494. I'm still a Gabe guy. I'm a Gabe man. I have Gabe pride. All right.
Huh?
But he has to start changing some of these things.
Yeah.
Maybe he's doing everything perfectly. Like maybe he's.
Well, we know he's not doing everything perfectly.
Well, let's just say in theory that he's yelling at these guys. He's preaching fundamentals, whatever else. I know this is the first year. The fact they're continuing to make mental mistakes every single game. The defense is atrocious. That's on Klentak and Gabe Kapler. All right, let's do it. Patrick and Malvern. Pat, what do you got, brother?
Hey, how's it going?
How are you?
So, besides the fact that Gabe needs to decide to start being angry with the players and show a little emotion to the fans out there, maybe we need to go out and get ourselves a closer so we stop losing games in the ninth inning.
Yeah, it's a good point.
How many games this season have we been in the lead in the ninth inning, and then we're scrambling to find a pitcher in the bullpen who maybe can close the game out for us?
I would say in every close game. Yeah. But you got to admit, Pat, they won more than their fair share of those games in the first half of the season. They won 21 run games in the first half of the season. That's a lot of one run games.
Yeah, I still think, though, we need to go get ourselves a closer in the offseason, you know, because it's been years since we've had one guy who comes in, closes the game out for us.
Well, shouldn't Sir Anthony be better next year, more equipped, better equipped to be your closer next year?
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know if Gabe wants a closer. You know what he says? It's all about the high leverage reliever and putting him in when it matters, and the splits and where it is in the lineup or whatever.
Right.
Who knows? But yeah, I would have liked Zach Britton. I would have liked the guy that did it before, so you can just put him in the ninth inning, and then that's it. And then you worry about the rest of your guys setting up your sixth, seventh, and eighth. I mean, I grew up watching baseball. You had a sixth inning guy, you had a seventh inning guy, you had an eighth inning guy. You had a lefty situational reliever that you would bring in certain spots. This is when you have a lead, Gabe. Part of the problem is Gabe doesn't have a closer because he really doesn't have a closer right now. And part of the other problem is he doesn't value having defined roles. He just doesn't.
Yeah. Bring back Brad Lidge.
Thanks, Pat. Well,
Brad Lidge clone.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
You don't need the highest paid closer in the league on your team. You can go year to year or 2 years at a time with certain guys that just kind of become the closer. But you actually need to find a guy that can do it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's somebody within the organization. I don't know if that's somebody that they will bring in from the outside.
Was that game really about the closer? Like, teams are going to get hits off you late in games. The Phillies do.
Agreed.
Phillies score runs late in games. So, like.
No, it's not. You're right. It's a great point.
Yeah. So, to me, that was just sloppy play last night.
Yeah, it's the bigger picture.
Yeah, the whole fundamental baseball thing. To me, that was the issue last night.
Yeah, you're right. No, because like I said when we played the Nishek cut, I'm not going to rip him for giving up a home run. I mean, he let a ball hang and a good player hit it out of the park. That's the bottom line.
Instantly.
Oh, my God.
That thing left so fast.
He knew it, too.
Oh, as soon as he hit it, I said game over. And I ran to the store. That's why I heard the end of the game in the car.
Is that right?
And I'm like, whoa, they got it to 5-4.
They got a run. But he just missed tying the game.
Yeah, so I was like, wow.
Ramos just missed a home run, then he hit that double.
I'd already waved the white flag when it was 5-3.
And it went
to the top of the ninth.
I was devastated. And then I was saying, like, yeah, this team's resilient. They can do it. Right. And you had that hope.
For a moment.
And then Vince Velasquez leaves second base early? Are you serious? Did that really happen?
I think Gabe had to put – I mean, last night he probably had to refrain from actually saying something that he really wanted to say. Like, he couldn't really express himself the way he wanted to. I mean, he chewed that gum hard as hell.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He did. Yeah, if there's a night where I'm flipping the table in the clubhouse, it's last
night.
Right. It's last night. Let's go to Austin, Villanova. Hi, Austin.
Ike and John, what's up?
My man.
What up, Austin?
How are you?
I don't know if you guys remember me, but the last time I called in, I was just going in to get my wisdom teeth taken out.
I do. How'd that go?
I don't. How'd it go?
it hurt like hell.
So you didn't go under?
Oh, no.
Now what happened was I forgot about my allergy. I forgot about my, what's the breathing? The asthma medication.
So they couldn't put you under.
The doctor. Yeah, they couldn't put me on it, so they gave me eight shots of that Novocaine, and that was that.
I had Ooh. Half of my wisdom teeth taken out with just Novocaine, and you could feel I could still feel the dentist getting in there, and I'm like, yo, dude.
I had to go to sleep.
Yeah, it put me to sleep. It was the worst.
I went to sleep the second time.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm a big Kapler fan. I think that you can't discount what he's done this year. I mean, they were 30 games under last year. And they've been, for the most part, 10 or more above most of the season. What I can't stand, and tell me if you disagree with this, but it feels like Carlos Santana has the persona of Pedro Serrano from Major League. He's just sort of happy to be there. He doesn't show much emotion. He doesn't really care when he strikes out. I'm so tired of seeing him ground into the shift. If you know that, there, and I don't care. There's no way analytics is telling Gabe Kapler that Carlos Santana can somehow manage to beat the shift with his hits. You got to butt it to the left side and make them not shift on you more. I mean, I feel like it's so simple. He could have at least 30 more hits and he'd be a different player.
He wouldn't be betting what's he betting now, 220? Yeah, I mean, listen, yeah. Carlos Santana, for me, we're already in September, he has 19 home runs. So the RBIs and the on-base percentage and the home runs is pretty much what I expected. Though I wish he was hitting 240. Sure, I wish he was hitting 240. The other problem is defensively he's bad. I mean, he just is. He's not a good defensive player. We saw it again last night. And that's a pivotal moment. You saw what happened. He fired it high because he wasn't set when he threw. But those are plays you can't make.
Yeah.
Because that costs
you games. I have one more point for you. I don't think he's a terrible defensive first baseman. I think he's actually made some nice plays, although he's had a lot of boneheaded and bad plays for a veteran first baseman. But I want to see when he grounds out to first again and grounds out of the shift again and again and again, get mad. Do something so that you care. Break your bat. He either walks, hits a homer, or grounds the shift every time, or pops up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you listen to the manager, thanks, Austin. He's had a good season, Carlos Santana. But the problem just isn't Santana. It's then. I mean, let's face it. If they don't have their starting pitching this year of Nola, Eflin kind of came out of nowhere and was dominant for a stretch there. Pavetta has been good at times. Velasquez has overachieved, in my opinion. He's had a bounce back year. Uh-huh. And Arrieta, for the most part, has been good. They've gotten good starting pitching, and their bullpen has been good for the most part. If it's not for Nola, where is his team right now? Right at 500? Something like that? If they don't have Aaron Nola's performance, this offense has been bad all year.
Yeah. So? Yeah, I mean, it has.
Let's go to Robert, Quakertown, Pennsylvania. Hi, Robert.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
How are you, Robert?
What's up, Robert?
Oh, I'm upset, bro. Who did Matt Klintak marry, or whose nephew was he? Can't they just put him in a back room with a bowl of Cheerios and a coloring book and let him write out his contract and let someone else run the damn show? That guy's a joke.
Well, I'm not in the defending mood today, Robert. But I mean, I'm not going to go overboard. He did make some good moves at the trade deadline without giving up a lot. This, you know, Matt Klintak's going to be judged on what he does this year in free agency, if he's able to make trades, because he has a lot of money. He has a lot of money to spend. So the money he spent so far, you can't say has been the greatest money spent. But this year is going to be going to define him.
How do you manage it? You know, making it's half the battle, managing the other half, and I just haven't seen it.
What specifically with Klintak do you have a problem with?
Everything. You know, why is Reese not at first?
It's a good question.
That's first and foremost. That's my biggest beef right now. You know, I go back to watching the Phillies since I was knee high to a grasshopper. You know, Schmitty hitting the walk off. That's the best baseball ever. You know, you're there at home, you see the walk off, you're just excited as all get out, and now look what we got.
But let me ask you this, because I actually don't have a problem with Hoskins, and I know he's not great in left field, but he still had a productive season, right, Hoskins?
Yeah, but he's a baller. You know, the guy hustles. Oh, that's what it boils down to, hustle.
What does that have to do with Klintak? You know? I'm trying to figure out, you said that you have a problem with Hoskins being in left field, but...
Well, he's not a left fielder. Come on.
I should be at first.
No, he's terrible. He's terrible out there.
He's all right.
Yeah.
He's all right.
If the ball falls in front of him, he's all right. Yeah, I don't want to rip Reese Hoskins because he's arguably, they brought in Ramos, their most reliable hitter. But
is he worse than Pat Burrell?
I'd say he's Pat Burrell-ish. That's what he is.
So when Pat Burrell hit 35 homers, you didn't worry about it. I thought, actually, Pat Burrell was decent in left field. He just... his athletic ability only allowed him to get to. I would say Burrow was a better left fielder than Reese Hoskins.
Okay.
He was.
But that's not good for Reese, because Pat Burrow got replaced in the seventh inning also.
Yeah.
For defensive purposes. So
maybe they can swing Reese to first base and get Santana out of there in the seventh inning.
I think most people would have liked that to have happened last night, you know. And you put Roman Quinn out there in left field,
right?
But then now you got to worry about still who you bringing off the bench to run for Wilson Ramos. So you still don't have anybody to bring off the bench.